Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Robin, could you just help me with the hatch, please?
The hatch.
Robin, dear, I need your help with the hatch, if possible.
Yes, I'm hatching a plan to help you now.
Oh, that would be great. Once you've hatched the plan, could you then help me with the hatch? It's pretty stuffy up here.
Oh, right, you're on the other side of the hatch.
Yes.
Oh, but, sorry, yeah. right, yes.
I'm behind the hatch.
Okay, yeah, let me just open this hatch.
Oh!
There we go.
Hang on, let me just come down these steps.
Whew. Yes, sorry, I got a bit confused there.
No, there's so many hatches round here. Oh, my. Oh, I'm all bent out of shape, Robin. I'm all bent out of shape, having been up to the bell tower. And I was just checking on one of the many colonies of doves that we have here in the Dovecot. Come Bell Tower, as it's known.
Yeah.
And they're thriving.
Good.
They really are. They've yet to really grasp the sort of... I'd hope to teach them to sort of maintain the windings and some of the mechanisms of the hexagonal clock faces there. But, I mean, they are as sweet as they are, as beautiful as the noise they make. They are as thick as two short planks.
Are they... Do they get disturbed by the bells, or are they deaf doves?
Ah, now that's a very good cue. I wonder if they started out being disturbed by the bells and have become deaf doves as a result therein.
Mm-hmm.
But to the passerby, it's just part of a beautiful sort of scene, a sort of vignette of dove and bell and clock.
Which is where you get the famous pub name, the Dove and Bell.
And Clock.
And Clock.
Yeah, the Dove and Bell and Clock.
Yeah.
So no, but I was just sort of sweeping up because you know what it's like when you've got 14,000 doves living in a dovecote.
Yeah, this is what it feels like when doves attend the bells in a belfry. It's,
yes, yeah. But scooping out the old guam to give it its proper name. But they're very happy up there and clocks are all set. So
good.
They should be chiming on the quarter twos.
Just quarter two. The hour.
Yeah, just quarter two on the clocks there. But obviously all of the clocks are set to different sort of, well, I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of it, but, you know, different calendars,
yep.
Different regimes. So, really, they're sort of constantly chiming. So if you think about it, 8 clocks, some of them on the two moon cycle.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is on a 3 sun cycle. So obviously that's 10 days to the week. And obviously, how many weeks? 14 weeks in a month. I don't know. Anyway, they're going off all the time, but you can't really hear them from down here.
Well, they're going off so regularly that you just don't tend to notice. It's a bit like when the central heating goes off.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's been quite loud. Like when the bells finally stop, you'd go, oh, the bells have been ringing all day. But the bells are ringing so constantly that it's actually more like a drone.
I remember at university a visiting professor who was... teaching film, and I went for a tutorial with him, and it was like a scene out of Richard Curtis film, you know, American professor visiting Oxford, quite a cool guy in a sort of stuffy college room, and the windows were open because it was quite hot, and the church next door was sounding its bells, and he sort of got up and closed the window and said, "Do they ever turn off these goddamn bells?"
That's nice. I wonder what he's doing.
And he popped back to Harvard after his term there. But yeah, good Godspeed.
Yeah, what a life.
So, Robin, we're no longer in the bell clock dovecot tower of the mind. We're here in the warm bosom of the moon underwater. And I have to say, it's looking very relaxed. It's quite playful. I'm not usually one for a sofa in a pub at all. In fact, I hate it.
Yeah, so you're too low down.
You're too relaxed. You're too low down. You can't have you sort of can't access your drink on the table quickly. But the moon underwater is sort of at an amusing play on the sofa concept, whereby the booths are sofa'd. But the tables are sort of set right back into the sofa, so you have to sort of slither in.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it.
Do you like... what's that pub in Edinburgh that's got almost like beds in the pub?
Oh, the Brass Monkey.
Brass Monkey, yeah.
Yeah, it's got sort of... in the back room, you sort of lie on these... I guess they are beds. They're not beds as in with like sort of pillows and stuff, but they do have big cushions.
Yeah.
They're sort of like... big, long, foam cuboids.
You sort of find yourself kind of reclining sort of like Michael Jackson on the cover of Thriller.
Yeah, it's quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's good fun.
Yeah, it's good fun.
And it is a bit of a quirk of that pub.
Yeah, but yeah, no, these sofas are very comfortable, I must say.
Yeah, so, well, this is the first of our month in pubs. To try and just give a little bit more beef to our bonnet, as the saying goes... pack a little bit more
peppers in the pot.
Yes, a few more peppers in the pot. Pack a bit more beef in the bonnet. So, Robin, where and whence have we find thy sen this pub month past?
Well, this is a good cue now, isn't it? Yeah, the month in pubs. It's been a pleasant month in pubs. I didn't last very long with Dry January, unfortunately.
Can you explanary why you didn't last long with Dry January?
What was the... I was at my girlfriend's sister's... Oh, yeah, I think I've explained this on the show. It was a first birthday party. That was it, yeah.
And it was very funny because I think... Did you tell me that? Maybe you told me that in the other realm on the phone, or was it on the podcast?
I think it was on a previous week in pubs, yeah.
Yeah, because you said, I just had this party to go to, and I was like, oh, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
And then you're like, it was a one-year-old's party in the day.
Yeah, it was in the day.
But what pubs followed hence?
I had a very nice pubbing up in North London, in Highgate, around Archway kind of area. I met up with a few friends, I went to the Boogaloo. Have you ever been up there?
What it is?
Well, it used to be called the Shepherd's Pub, and it's a kind of, and before that, I think it was the Birkbeck. But it's a really nice pub. It's kind of rock and roll style pub. They're playing really good music and stuff. But it's kind of a point of note because it was where Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and Edgar Wright used to go, and it's where they kind of hatched the plan of Shaun of the Dead. So it's kind of the Winchester from Shaun of the Dead in a way.
Oh,
it's
right. Kind of the inspiration. So it's sort of the basis. Oh, if you know of any pubs that are pubs in films... or the basis of pubs in films, do let us know, john@moonunderpod.com, if you don't mind, mate.
Yeah. I've got a little bit here, which is quite fun. Frost and Pegg spent much of their time at the Shepherd's talking about how they would survive an undead apocalypse. The initial part of their plan involved securing the necessary means to slay the undead. And they said there was a little gun shop on Archway, which I think is still there, weirdly.
Really?
And they said we worked out that you could get onto the roofs on Archway Road and all the way down to the gun shop. And then we had some kind of weird fantasy that they had a secret cellar and that's where they kept all the illegal shit. But there we go, that's Simon Pegg. But yeah, very nice pub. And then went on to the Wrestlers in Highgate, which was extremely nice. And from which I had a three-day hangover. First of my 40s, yes.
Talk us through the sort of the movements of the three-day hangover.
Well, I think... In day one, you kind of, there's a part of you that thinks it's not so bad and you're kind of vibing it. But day two, there's a very deep depression in the soul.
Yeah.
And that continues into day three. But
so it's just 3 days of depression.
I mean, I didn't mean to put it like that. I meant to kind of make it sound like a depression in the surface of your soul.
Yeah.
Not like actual depression, although that wasn't far away either. But yeah, no, great times in the wrestlers, but bad hangovers afterwards. How are you feeling, sans cans?
Well, sans cans, I mean, okay. Sans cans for over 3 months now.
Mm.
And sort of physically, it's quite weird. So my sleep improved very, very quickly. And then, so I'm like 8 hours straight through pretty much every night now.
Wow.
My skin improved very, very quickly, but has now, well, it's not like bad, but it's, I assumed that I was just going to heal like before, like almost be photoshopped before thine eye.
Yeah.
But then I realised that, oh, you're 40.
Mm.
You're not going to just keep looking progressively better and better and better forever just because you haven't had a drink for 3 months.
I don't know. You do look a bit yassified to me.
What does that mean?
Isn't that a thing young people say? Kind of a glow up.
Oh, I think what you might be experiencing is some of the filters in the air,
right,
of the movement. In the correct realm, yeah. Might actually improve the appearance even more so.
In fact, you know, we always insist on Valencia in The Moon Underwater.
Oh, Valencia.
Yeah, that's what
we
do.
The blood still warm in the brain.
Yeah.
Is that the line?
I don't know. But
that song by, what's they called? That's a great song. By the Decemberists.
Oh, yeah.
Valencia. Colin, Jesus Christ.
Colin Molloy, by the way, has got a very good Substack account. And he recently asked ChatGPT to write a song in the style of the Decemberists, which he then recorded. It's quite funny.
Oh, that's quite a good idea.
Yes, so can I do a few more pubs? I just realised I can do another couple of pubs here.
Have I finished talking about what I was
so
talking
sorry,
about?
John.
Is the question
so
on everybody's lips.
Yeah.
But interestingly, because I couldn't believe that I wasn't losing weight.
Right.
Because of all the calories that I'm sort of saving from, you know, like probably easily 1,000 calories a day on average.
So at the start, were you kind of doing sugary alternatives then?
I was eating a lot of chocolate at the start.
That's quite common, I think.
But even then, I couldn't believe that, you know, a bar of, what's it called?
Chocolate.
Chocolate, that's right. But one of those thin, you know, the slightly more expensive bars that are in cardboard, the slimmer bars. So if you go to a Tesco, you've got your Cadbury's rack, you've got your Nestle rack, and then you've got
Tony's Choco Lonely.
Yes, but thinner. It's sort of, they've got velvet in the name, Intenso, Noir, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So they're in slim oblong packs with large square bits, but they're very thin. So you feel like they're healthier, but they're exactly the same as everything else anyway. So I stopped doing them in January because I did no booze, no sugar in January. And even then, the weight didn't fall off. But I've upped my gym trips to thrice weekly, not bi-weekly.
Right.
And now things are starting to change.
Wow. Well, you're looking great.
Thanks, man. It's just difficult to tell what things are just age.
Yeah.
Would be my main takeaway.
Well, that's the thing, I think, isn't it? That if you don't drink for a long period of time, it's actually getting acclimatized to what one's mind is like in a way. Because for so
100%.
Long, it's been, you know, you're seeing things through a filter of being a bit hungover. Not at all times, but in certain cases, kind of for a long period of time. You know, I'm not saying that's you, but like...
No, I would say it wasn't until probably 90 days off booze that I could honestly give you an account of what my mental health was like.
Right.
Because then I felt that sort of most of the sort of ill effects of sort of booze and hangovers and adrenaline peaks and troughs and, you know, numbing stuff with booze had gone, which is very interesting. And I wonder how many, I think the problem with, because, you know, like people do tend to lie to their doctors about how much they drink.
Yeah.
I wonder if people were honest, how many GPs and stuff would actually prescribe time off booze.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I mean, that sounds great. It certainly sounds a lot better than a 3-day hangover. I meant that to be a funny story, but it just sounded really depressing. Sorry about that, everyone.
I tell you what, there's many, many evenings still where I think about booze, I fantasize about it, and I crave it even. Less so than at the start. However, I've never woken up thinking, oh, I wish I'd had a drink last night.
Right.
But you can't think in the evening like you do, like you can't force your mind to be that morning mind.
Well, no, I mean, but that's evening. That's the problem with a lot of things to do with anxiety. Say, like, you know, I get anxious about going to the cinema and the theatre. I have to think about the fact I will have enjoyed the film after I've been.
Yeah.
You know?
Very much so.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting exploration into the unknown, really.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm
so, you know, tell us about more pubs.
Okay. Yes. Well, I went to Bedford at the weekend to see my brother and his family, and we went to the village of Harold, which I've mentioned on In the Moon Underwater before, because there's a great Beatles connection, which is that in June 1968, Paul McCartney and Entourage went through Harold and stopped there, had a drink in the pub, and performed Hey Jude for the first time. Paul McCartney was kind of writing it at that time. So it's interesting, there's some dispute about which pub that actually took place in.
It's mad that stuff that happened in living memory, there could be sort of dispute about it.
Yeah, there is a nice photo. I think it's the Oakley Arms lays a good claim. And the other pub, the Magpie, is now a restaurant called Spices of Paradise. But the Oakley Arms is the one we went to the weekend, and it has a poster up there of Paul and everything. And I think they did a little celebration on the kind of anniversary of it. But it's a really, really nice pub. And it reminds me of, like, it reminds me of kind of village pub near where you live in Amersham, because it's got that thing where, you know, because of the times we live in for pubs, it can't just be the local pub anymore. It has to be other things. And so it's a restaurant, and it's also a bakery, and they sell cakes.
Oh, that's very nice.
And I thought that was actually nice, because it reminded me of that kind of Irish thing of, like, the pub being also the shop and stuff. Like, one of our rounds was a pint of beer, a pint of lager, a baguette, and some Victoria sponge.
That's nice. Yeah. And also, I imagine the smell of baking bread is a good accompaniment to the taste of a beer.
Yeah, it was really good. And it's a beautiful village. Yeah, it was really nice. It was really nice to go there for the Beatles connection.
Well, quick Beatles question. If you could have been present for any Beatles event, would it have been that performance of Hey Jude in that pub, or would it have been something else?
That's a very good cue.
Because obviously, like, those early Beatles gigs would have been hellish to actually be at, because the sound was terrible and everyone was screaming. But would you have wanted to be there for the sort of vibe of it?
Well, I think it's just so interesting. What Get Back showed was obviously them working on the album that became Let It Be. I mean, just to have similar footage of them doing the White Album or Abbey Road would just be absolutely amazing, wouldn't it? I think to be in the studio for either of those albums would have been incredible.
Does such footage exist?
No. There's more photos of the White Album than there are of Abbey Road, but not much video footage. There is a bit of video of Paul playing Blackbird, I think, in the studio.
Oh,
wearing weird shoes.
You just assume they'd have had, like, because a similar band now, someone will be filming something all the time because everyone's doing it on their, like, Insta stories.
I know. Do you think we'll look back and a big box set of Insta stories in a few years' time?
Yes, maybe they'll release a documentary called Let It Be Real. Because of the app.
Oh, right. Yeah, Be Real.
That everyone uses.
Yeah. You're right about that. Do you use Be Real?
God, no. I'm 40.
Okay.
Also, I'm always on my own.
But Be Real, it's fine for being on your own, though, isn't it? It's like, here I am cooking.
Oh, God, it would get a bit depressing after a while.
You play a lot of golf.
Yeah. I'm not sure I would want to be reeling on the golf course, though.
T-reel.
It would just be me and podcast recording Zoom calls. Me and my, and like, YouTube videos of golf, and me and my gas hobs, me and my bedroom wall. Oh, God. Anyway, carry on. Do another one of your pubs.
But I'm reminded of Gabe wrote into the show a while back when I mentioned Harold, and he said one of the best pubs to go to around Bedfordshire is The Cock in a village called Broome. And we drove past that. I can't believe we didn't go in, but it looked absolutely amazing. but he said it's a pub that has no bar, just an open cellar into which the landlord descends, emerging back with one's remarkably affordable and always optimum quality tipple of choice. So next time, I'm going to go to the Cock.
Ah.
But another great pub in Bedford went to was the Gordon Arms, and they've started doing Brew Point, which is like kind of the new craft beer arm of Charles Wells, or Wells & Co., which is like Bedford Brewers. So it's, I thought it was really good, actually, because it's quite an old traditional brewery, but they're trying to kind of branch out a bit to these kind of more craft beery kind of tastes. And they did Midpoint, which is a nice pilsner. And they also do On Point, a pale ale, Checkpoint, an IPA, and Nil Point, a 0.5% hoppy lager. It's good stuff.
Oh, good. They could do Pointless with Richard Osman on the front.
Yeah. What would that taste like?
A tall beer.
A nice tall drink. Yes. So that's my month in pubs.
Well, we went to a pub together, and I also went to another pub. We went to, believe it or not, the Metropolitan, which is a Wetherspoons by Baker Street Station. And do you know what? I didn't mind it at all.
I thought it was really nice because it kind of felt like a bit like what one of those kind of chop houses would have been like in the kind of 1930s London or something.
Yeah, high ceilings, just the sound, the big, it was like hubbub of conversation.
Mm.
And, you know, the bar staff really good. There wasn't a massive queue for the bar. There was sort of a mixture of families eating and tourists and sort of wide boys. And, I just thought it's serving the purpose of it. It felt a bit like a service station for pubgoers.
I don't know. I thought it was nicer than that. It's a beautiful old building. It seemed almost quite gin palace-y.
No, but what I mean is it didn't feel like anyone was in there for like a five-hour session. It felt like a place people would sort of meet and it felt like a stop-off.
You're on your way somewhere. And then we went to, I think, one of the worst pubs I've ever been to, which we have...
Oh, it was the worst pub we've ever been to.
No. We went to the...
No, it was, wasn't it? I think it was.
That, not the Wetherspoons.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
No, the one we went to afterwards.
Yes, yeah. That was, we won't name it, but that was probably the worst pub I've ever been to, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Mm.
But that just really felt like no one ever goes there. You just kind of end up there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Music way too loud and wrong type of music. What's that song again?
Jess Glynn.
Yeah, that will always be my touch point for... But the wrong music to have in a pub, or the music. Like, what, about 7:30 on a Monday?
Yeah, just have a quiet pint.
Oh, God.
It's very like you're in a gym. You know.
Yes, 100%. And also, I mean, they had loads of screens on because it was the rugby, or was it football?
Rugby.
And but they did. Once the rugby was finished, they went away. But it was that horrible thing of having Jess Glynn and commentary playing at the same time.
I know. And so also it would like go to ads in the rugby or whatever. So there'd be music on the ads just clashing with Glynn.
And you sort of want to say to the manager or a member of bar staff, can you hear that?
Yeah.
Can you hear that you're blaring out? You're turning up both knobs to try and, because I can't hear the music, turn the music up. Oh, I can't hear the commentary, I'll turn the commentary up. So they're both on full. You're here, right? You can hear whatever you're subjecting everyone to.
Yeah.
Oh, matey of my mates.
Yep. Very odd place.
But then on Sunday, this Sunday last, I went to the Black Heart in Camden, which is a sort of a... like a metal goth.
Oh yeah, pub. Yeah, I know.
And I got and they do this incredible vegan roast. Really recommend it. So I had tofu pork belly with, I think, crackling made out of rice paper, which was out of this world. But I just got such a burst of nostalgia for when we used to go to sort of goth pubs in the 90s. And just feeling like completely safe, even though weirdly, as a contrast to the awful pub, you know, they're hammering out really intense metal music, but a really pleasant volume. And they had like gender neutral toilets. So it was just sort of six cubicles, very, very welcoming. really fun stuff. And I always felt that. I think that's why I gravitated towards that group in your year at school who were sort of dressed like goths and were into that sort of thing. Just because the most intimidating person could walk in and you know they would be super, super lovely. Because you might initially think they're intimidating because they've got like loads of piercings and tattoos and wearing dark makeup and dark clothes or whatever. But I always found those people to be the nicest to talk to. And exactly the same in this place, the Black Heart. So do go there if you fancy a vegan roast of a Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of misunderstood genre still some ways. Because I also think when you listen to The Cure, they're kind of like the least miserable band ever in a way, because it's all about embracing these big things. They're like kind of a romantic band with a big R, I think. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like incredibly beautiful music. It does deal with dark things as well, but it's more kind of to do with emotional heightening, you know?
Yes. And in many ways you could argue Jess Glynn is as well. just heightening those emotions sentence after sentence.
I don't want to slag off musicians, you know. I really like Jess Glynn's song she did with Clean Bandit. That's a great song.
Yeah, but also, if you were, like, having a beach party and you're all, like, half our age, that's a great song to play, is it? I don't know, people who aren't 20, but it's an inappropriate song to play loud in a pub.
Yeah. I think we can all agree.
Obviously, I've got nothing against the music, but she's intensifying because she's going...
I do like that other one, though. That's a good song.
Yeah, they're both good songs.
Okay.
But imagine if you could create a loop of that song just going constantly higher.
Just keeps going higher and higher.
Sort of like Queen.
Yeah, it's good. Jess, if you're listening.
Yeah, Jess, if you're listening, love your music, but... The pub, we're using it irresponsibly. Anyway, there we are. Robin, I think we should probably have a little break before we head into the correspondence, before the mist man cometh and blow us all asunder. So we'll be back with you after these short notices.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to The Moon Underwater. It's our month in pubs. I am the landlord, John Robbins, and sat down there, sat in his sofa in the booth, is the lovely Robin Allender. The Moon Underwater is in fine fettle this evening. We've discussed our pubs, our month in pubs, our pubs in months. But Robin, it was the most extraordinary thing. You ever seen the film Backdraft?
Is that about fires?
Yeah, it's about fires.
I've not seen it, no.
And firemen.
Yeah.
Anyway, in Backdraft,
yeah.
What the problem with a Backdraft is you open a door to get to fire and you think it's all fine and then it all jumps out all over the ceiling.
Right.
But what I was reminded about Backdraft, because
yeah.
When the mist man come, all the mist slunk under the door like a misty old foggy marsh, didn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a scene, quite a spectacle.
But you sighed, and the mist just sort of—it was almost like you inhaled all of that mist.
Inhale the mist, exhale, just more mist, bad mist.
Bad mist. Yeah.
So,
what have people been misting to you about?
Oh, we've had some great mist this month. Former guest of the Moon Underwater, Simon Price, messaged in.
Oh, hello to you, Simon.
I love Simon Price. What a good egg. He said, I enjoyed the discussion of the insufficiently dissimilar names of Brighton pubs in Maisie Adams' Moon Underwater. There's the Heart and Hand, / Hand in Hand, and there's the Evening Star, Earth and Stars. And then things used to be even worse. There were two Shakespeare's Heads within 0.7 miles of each other. Eventually one of them renamed itself the Brighton Beer Dispensary, then closed down altogether. And there's a Brunswick and a Caroline of Brunswick on opposite sides of town. A friend once said they'd meet me in the Brunswick, so I went and waited, only to find out they were sitting waiting for me in the Caroline of Brunswick all the way across town. There ought to be some kind of legal exclusion zone for pubs with the same or similar name. Mind you, there are 4 Coach and Horses in very close proximity in central London, so it's not just a Brighton problem. Interesting this, I thought, because the Blue Posts in central London,
There
are about 4, aren't there?
There were 4 within about, well, certainly within a 15-minute walk of each other.
Yeah.
There is still one, which is the Sam Smith's pub on Newman Street.
Sam Smith's.
There was one next to the Pizza Express in that weird little sort of walk-through bit in Soho.
Yeah.
I know one of them has closed down, but I don't know which one it is.
Yeah. One of them was nice, I remember. Nice kind of stained glass windows, I want to say.
Let's have a little looky here. Yeah, so they're all the Blue Posts.
Mm.
I think maybe they are all still open.
And I've just been told from producer Jack that there's also a Blue Post behind Hamley's on Regent Street.
Yes, yeah, so there's the one in Newman Street, which is just up from Tottenham Court Road. There's one on Kingly Street. There's one on Rupert Street. That's the one in the little underpass bit, I think.
Mm.
And there's one on Berwick Street,
yeah,
which looks very pretty from the outside.
I was thinking as well, Bristol, there's 3 Shakespeare's in central Bristol. So I've got caught up with that. I've gone to the wrong Shakespeare before.
I wonder if I quite like the quirk.
Yeah, I like the quirk. Oxford as well, the 2 Gardener's Arms, which are, I mean, how close are they? They're extremely close, those two.
Well, the one on Plantation Road and the one on
North Parade. That's
under
a mile.
They've got to be like a 6 or 7 minute walk from each other.
I've
got to say, hold my hands up, I like the quirk.
Yeah, I like the quirk.
I mean, if every pub in London was called the Blue Posts,
That
would be hellish.
Yeah.
I wonder where the name comes from.
Maybe a stamp?
Oh, that's not a bad shout.
But please write in if you've got similar named pubs that are quite close to each other.
Yes. Oh, so the Blue Posts was named after the boundary markers of Soho Fields.
Ah, there you go.
Soho Fields, once Royal Hunting Grounds.
Ah, okay.
And that's where some people think the word Soho comes from, as a sort of a variation of a hunting cry.
Soho.
Yeah.
Do you know why it's called Soho in New York? It's very boring.
South of Houston Road.
Yes. Yep.
And NoHo is north of Houston. Yeah.
But yeah, that's there's lots to discuss there.
Lots to pick apart in that mist. Lots of mist particles.
Yep. I've had another message. Well, this is a message a friend sent to me that was posted on the Draper's Arms Facebook page. Draper's Arms, fantastic little micro pub in Bristol, which is to say the sad news of Chaz Wright of Ewley Brewery in Gloucestershire has passed away. And Draper's Arms wrote this message. So very sorry to hear of Chaz's passing the other day. When we opened the Drapers 7 years ago, I contacted him to ask, could we buy some of his great beer? When I told him where our micropub was, he said, nah, I don't think so. Bristol's full of wankers drinking yellow beer with strawberries bobbing about in it. However, he agreed to send his son Dave down to see if we met the standard written on their beer mats of real beer in real pubs. Thankfully, he thought we did and still do. We finished off our latest cask of Yuli Bitter today. I met Chaz a few times over the years and raised a pint in his memory tonight. Chaz Wright, RIP, one of the best. Yuli beer was very, very nice as well. So, yeah, sad news there.
Oh, pints raised hither and thither. Yeah. What are some of the names of Yuli beers?
Oh, Yuli Bitter. I think there's one called Old Spot, I want to say.
I'm checking it right out. Yeah. I'm checking it right out. Yuli Pale.
U-L-E-Y.
Yeah, Pig's Ear, Old Spot, Pigger Mortis.
That's nice. Pigger Mortis.
Let's find out about Pigger Mortis. Oh, I don't think they're... Not sure if they're doing Pigger Mortis anymore. Anyway, super.
Anyway, more mist. We had a nice mist in from Lorraine. She says, hi, John and Robin. I thought you might like to see this drinks menu from the late 1980s when Stringfellows was quite a fancy nightclub to visit. I only went there a couple of times. My only clear memory is that on each occasion, the legend that was Georgie Best was there. As you can probably imagine, he was surrounded by beautiful women. I just wanted to point out that they have what they have listed as the most expensive cocktail in the world, which I think you'll agree is small fry compared to the Henry IV cognac that the utterly wonderful Barry Glendening chose on what is without doubt the world's best ever podcast. Those prices, though. Yeah, so have you got this, John, the Stringfellows menu?
No, I don't.
So this is late 80s, and one of the drinks on the menu is the most expensive cocktail in the world, called the Butterfly Ball, a creative mixture of brandy, curacao, maraschino, I think I'm pronouncing every one of those wrong, Grand Marnier, and two bottles of Dom Perignon. £200, or with three bottles, £250, beautifully decorated and set in a silver bowl, will easily satisfy six or more people. That's a lot of money for the late 80s. It's a lot of money now.
Yeah, well, a bottle of Dom Perignon now would be £120 odd.
Jesus. There's a very funny Chris Morris interview with Peter Stringfellow, which was on his Radio 1 show.
What happened?
Oh, it's just so funny. Just Peter Stringfellow doesn't really seem to be listening to Chris Morris. There's a great bit where Peter Stringfellow says, back then you had your menu in French. And Chris Morris goes, you had your hoodie menu in. It's really good. It's very funny. It's on YouTube. Chris Morris is so quick. Chris Morris just didn't give a hoot. It was on radio. Do you mind doing that on Radio 1?
Oh, it wouldn't happen. would not happen.
It was so funny. Oh, my God.
I mean, the amount of fuss we had to go through to advertise a tax calendar. I literally think four different advisory boards at the BBC had to approve it.
Yeah.
The idea that Chris Morris could just come in and fill a room with helium.
He never did that, I think. But, well, you know, he did lots of other stuff. He announced other DJs were dead on the radio. It's quite extraordinary. Oh, my God. Anyway, this one is from Richard. Hi, John. Love the podcast. I'm working in the driest of countries and generally enjoying it, but boy, do I miss the local. Explaining pub culture to Saudis made me realise how many pub types we have. So this is interesting. He said he kind of goes through a sort of bullet-pointed list of the different kinds of pubs the UK that he misses. Locals, town pubs, Irish-themed and real Irish, desi pubs, gastro, flat roofs, rowdy/dodgy, trendy, wine bars, independent, cheap chain... Blues. I don't really get that one. Blues.
Play blues music.
Like a rock kind of club, I suppose, yeah. And yeah. Football. But that's interesting that I think what I do kind of like about that is there are certain words. You can sum up a pub with one word and people will know what you mean. Like if you say it was a bit trendy, I kind of know exactly what you mean.
Also, you could add to that tap room.
Tap room, yeah.
You could add country.
Yeah.
You could add A road.
A road, yeah.
Just that pub in the middle of nowhere on an A road that sort of doesn't look very nice, but because it's on its own in the middle of an A road, sort of feels like a mirage.
Fake chalk writing on blackboards.
Yes.
I think that's a kind of pub, isn't it? You know exactly what I mean.
That's a kind of pub, yeah. Mm. What other kinds of pub are there? I mean, this is a question we should have asked yeah. 98 episodes yeah. ago. But I do like that.
Yeah. I do. I kind of like... I think it's very fascinating when people say kind of pubs are a bit rough. because I think it can be a very loaded term at times. It's funny, there's a sort of Twitter thread going on about this a while ago about what makes a pub rough, and it sort of descended into this kind of Monty Python Yorkshireman sketch of people trying to outdo each other with how rough their local pub was, you know.
Yeah, I think rough can sometimes mean you don't know anyone there.
Yeah.
Because everyone notices you come in. I think people can mistake a sort of a lack of welcome for roughness sometimes.
And it can be used very snobbily, I think, when people say, oh, it's a rough pub. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Could we add function room pub?
Yeah, I think we shall.
You know, that sort of pub where actually they'd rather have a wedding reception in than people, like they prioritise events, private events over your regular drinkers. Do you know the pub sort of pub?
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think as well, my dad always used to go, oh, it was a bit basic.
Huh. Yeah. But then your dad liked the Annex is a no-frills...
No-frills.
...wet pub.
Yeah. No, they do food.
Oh. Yeah. But would he have called the Annex basic, or did he mean something else?
At the time, I think he might have done. Just in the sense... It's tricky to go into. Lord knows I love the Annex. But, I mean, it's unpretentious, maybe. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
Yeah, but interesting. Yeah, please write in with your other pub types. And we've got one in here from Aisha. She's written in a few times. Hello, Robin and John. All this talk of craft beers being owned by megacorps is an extra sore subject for me. A few years back, I invested a whopping £30 in a cool new brewery called Camden Brewery. Soon after I read in the news it had been bought out by the mega company who owns Beck's, etc. I interpreted this as meaning I was now a shareholder in a huge company and would likely become a millionaire. But alas, no, they sent me a measly £40 and tossed me aside. Wow. But once bitten, never shy. I have just put £100, two monkeys, she says, ? Into a canned wine company. So fingers crossed this time next year I will be a millionaire. If it works out, I might even get on Patreon and subscribe. All the best, Aisha. That's great. Canned wine. I can see that catching on.
Well, they do it a lot in theatres.
Yeah.
The old canned wine. I think those like startup capital raises are quite confusing. I remember looking into one for a brewery near me called Mad Squirrel. Because what they wanted to do was like a lot of these new breweries, they basically reached capacity at their place where they brewed the beer.
Yeah.
So they needed to invest in a much bigger one. And that's often the first step when these sort of, shed-based or warehouse-based things need to expand. So they need to raise a lot of money. But actually drilling down into what it meant for you.
Yeah.
It was quite hard to get an understanding of it. And the problem is, like, the websites that these companies have are all sort of sparkly, like, you want to be a part of this thing? We're raising funds. But when you actually try and just get it written in black and white, what a share is, when you can get access to your money, it is quite confusing. But I guess Aisha's made, well, that's a third profit, 33% profit.
Yeah.
It's quite good. If you'd put in £1 billion, quite good.
It's not to be sniffed at, for sure. What was the Alistair Green kind of craft beer piss take thing? That was Punk Squirrel IPA, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Punk Squirrel IPA. Yeah.
I think a lot of people sent him the Mad Squirrel Brewery because I think it was a coincidence that he picked Punk Squirrel.
That's a shame. Last missed here from Tim. Hi, John and Robin. In the Maisie Adams episode, you mentioned not seeing Tenants outside of Scotland. Well, I was on a work trip to Palermo. You have to say it in the Tom Hollander voice from White Lotus. Palermo. And in a restaurant, a drinks menu was produced, and under the heading craft beer, there it was, Tenants Lager.
Brilliant. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to this month in pubs. We are going to whet our whistles and we'll be back with you next month. But just a reminder, if you want to send your mist our way, then direct it to john@moonunderpod.com. And also, if you want to support us on Patreon and get access to Behind the Cellar Door, which is like this, but from a cellar, We go a little bit deeper into the pub of the mind of the pub, then go to moonunderpod.com. And if they're still available, because this was recorded in a different realm sequence, there may still be tickets for our live event celebrating our 100th episode at the Comedy Store in London. But it may have sold out because of demand, because it's very rare that we actually go into the other realm, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, yeah, we're quite shy, really.
We are quite shy about going into the other realm, but we'll be there for one night only. So if tickets are still available, check them out, moonunderpod.com. If they have already sold out by the time this murmuration reaches your ear, then apologies, and quicker about it next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.